Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. Please be seated. Well, about a decade ago, I came across a report that drinking coffee was bad for you. And in fact, it increased the chances of prostate cancer among men. And this was bad news to me because I was a big coffee drinker. I was really disappointed to hear the report, and suddenly I found myself in a culture that looked down upon drinking coffee. Well, I tried to cut back. I did the best I could, but with very little success. And the truth is, I figured that I'd already consumed so much coffee by then, any change of lifestyle about coffee was not going to do any good anyway. But I was relieved a few years later. A report came out. No, in fact, coffee is good for you. It reduces the chances of cancer, especially in men. I went, wow, permission again to do this thing that I love, to do this thing that I know is good for me, and now evidence that it is. Well, you might look at some other things that we've been granted permission to do in the same way. When you think about the reality now that science has proved there actually is such a thing as a medicinal glass of wine, that a glass of red wine can be good for you. We know that too much sun can be bad, but we also know that daylight holds off depression. And so we ought to be out of our houses and in the sun enjoying God's creation. And in this series, I want us to hear in the gospel the permission that is granted to us to grieve. The permission that is granted to us to grieve. Because our culture often denies us that freedom. Where do you find yourself on the scale of those who grieve? I find that there are generally two camps. There are slaves to stoicism and those who are blinded by bliss. Slaves to stoicism, that we were raised up in a culture where we are not supposed to be folks who grieve. Even in the face of the death of those that we love, that we stand strong, we stand firm, we don't allow our emotions to be seen. We just bear up and we bear it and we do nothing else. And we're taught that that's the right way to handle grief, even if it confuses those around us. But why? Why wouldn't you be grieving? What you've experienced would cause anyone grief. We are slaves to stoicism. But then there are also those of us who are blinded by bliss. Blinded by bliss. Are you one of those? I find it hard to be among those who look at the world and see everything as rosy, as if they're wearing rose-colored glasses, that there is no reason to grieve. I think about my 6.5 years in Panama City as a senior pastor, the first time out on my own, and all the grief that I experienced with and for people. I think about all the children that I buried, baptizing a stillborn, burying a young child that died just 2 weeks into his life, born full of hope and life and health. I think of a little girl that I buried, 4 years old. Her babysitter slept in the morning. She got up out of her bed, put on a bathing suit, walked down to the pool, and went for a swim, only to drown. I buried one of Mary's, my oldest's best friends. At the time, they were both 8. William was thrown off a jet ski by a drunken father. And I've heard in recent days that his father, who was also injured in the accident, the absence of him, William died, that Jacob has been in and out of jail, no one to direct his life. In just a few short years, experienced a great deal of grief, a great deal of tragedy. It's hard for me to imagine that we can be blinded by bliss unless we just refuse to see what is out there. So which camp are you in? Slave to stoicism? Blinded by bliss? My guess is that there are exceptions to the rule, but when we do grieve, when we do find the permission to grieve, we often do it privately. Quietly, not with other people around, not with other people to support us in the midst of our grief. And yet the gospel today, and the gospel itself everywhere grants us permission to grieve. And we want to hear that. We heard it in the lesson of this woman whose son has just died, and she is a widow. She's surrounded by many people in her community because of the tragedy of her situation. She's lost not only a son, she's already lost a husband. The two males that are in her life are no longer there. Her means of living, her provision, suddenly taken away. It would be hard in any culture, but it would be especially hard in a patriarchal culture where males provide almost exclusively. It's no wonder that she was crying. And we hear Jesus speak to her. His heart was drawn to her, the scripture says. Don't cry. He says, don't cry because he's about to restore her fortunes. He's about to bring the son back to life. But what drew him to her was her grief. The expression of it, the challenges of her circumstances. He is a Lord who empathizes with his people. He knows that there is grief among us. And we shouldn't be surprised to find it there. It's elsewhere in the scriptures, isn't it? We heard in the psalm that there are those who sow with tears but reap songs of joy. My guess is the psalmist in this situation knew something about raising kids, sowing in tears, reaping with songs of joy. Often the early work, challenging, difficult, only later to see the fruit of it. In Ecclesiastes, we were told that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And you'll notice that there was no breakout of how much of each we will experience. As if one is more than the other, there are seasons of both. We will laugh and we will weep. We will dance and we will mourn. 2 Corinthians 2, we find Paul weeping over the condition of the church in Corinth. And he says it's to express his great love for them, but it's only because he's grieved and brokenhearted by the condition of the church itself, the division that dwells there. Peter weeps, doesn't he, when he comes to grips with his betrayal, his denial of Jesus himself. We find that Jesus weeps in the scriptures. We find that he weeps over Jerusalem. He looks at a lost place and it breaks his heart. He wept when he came to the tomb of Lazarus, caught up in the grief of Martha and Mary for his friend and their brother. Grief is something that is real and not something to be discouraged. Do you weep? Do you grieve? Do you allow yourself to do that, or do you find yourself blinded by bliss or a slave to stoicism? A week ago Thursday, I wept for 2 hours. I thought at the moment that it was really just a product of exhaustion and need for a break. But the truth is, it followed the permission to grieve, to acknowledge what is wrong with the world, what is broken in the world, what was broken in my own life. I have a good friend, Mark, who started grieving and weeping about 10 years ago. And the last time I talked to him, I think he's about to wrap it up. He finally let it all in, and he's finally let it all out. It's good for us. We are to find permission to grieve and to do it openly, with others, as we hear of this woman in Luke who is surrounded by others. And we know there was a great crowd surrounding Martha and Mary when Lazarus died. The permission is there, and we should experience it. And where is it good for us? It's because it draws Jesus to us. His heart went out to her. His heart goes out to us when we can express the grief that we are experiencing, when our situation is difficult and when we can acknowledge that before the Lord. It doesn't mean in every case that he's going to fix what it is that is broken, but his empathy is there with us. His sympathy is there with us our pain resonates with him because he is a man acquainted with sorrows, as we're told in Isaiah 53. He is a man who knows grief, and he can bear that with us. He can bear that for us. We are meant to find the permission to grieve. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Do you weep? Do you grieve? Do you feel the permission? Have you allowed the culture to rob you of it such that you are stoic in the face of it, or such that you are blinded by bliss, convinced yourself that there's not anything to grieve that's going on around us? Hear the permission granted by the gospel. Hear the permission granted by Jesus. Know that he will meet you there in the middle of your grief, right where you are, right where your pain and suffering is, right in the midst of the brokenness that is around you. In the weeks ahead, we want to look at grief in particular and look to where it leads us. And there is a grief in the Bible that leads to repentance, where our heart is broken by the things that break the heart of God, such that we repent and return to the Lord. But there is also grief that leads to hope, a hope that will not disappoint, as Paul talks about in Romans 5. But you know, it won't do us any good to look at what our grief leads to, whether it's repentance or whether it's hope, if we don't allow ourselves first to grieve, to be brokenhearted, to know that God is with us in the midst of it. His heart went out to her because she grieved. His heart goes out to us because we grieve. If we want to be met by Jesus, if we want to know him in a deep and personal way, if we want him to come into our lives and speak hope where there's not any, show your grief to him. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you with broken hearts, and yet the inability to grieve, having had that robbed of us by our culture that teaches us to be stoic or teaches us to live in denial and to be blinded by bliss. And yet the world is broken. There are wars, and there are rumors of wars. Lord, we vacillate between rage and sorrow over the destruction of the wonder of your creation in the Gulf. Every day we see among us loss of life, and it's always painful. But Lord, there are other things to grieve, and you know them, that some of us bear scars from things that happened to us many years ago and that we haven't been able to be relieved at all. You know our hearts, Lord. You know that some of us are fearful and grieving that our businesses are failing. The economy is failing. Marriages are failing. Parenting is failing. The culture would like to convince us, God, that we aren't to show grief about these things. We pray that you would seal us by the power of your Holy Spirit today with two words. Permission granted. Amen.